Grace, mercy, and peace are ours this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. I had the great privilege a couple of summers ago of going down to Orlando, Florida and attending the National Youth Gathering that our Synod puts together every few years. And I had the opportunity to hear Dr. Reed Lessing speak on this very passage. And one of the things he shared with us was a poem by a young man named Mike Buscemi. I don't cause my teachers trouble. My grades have been okay. I listen in my classes. I'm in school every day. My teachers think I'm average. My parents think so too. I wish I didn't know that though. There's lots I'd like to do. I'd like to build a rocket. I read a book on how. Or start a stamp collection. But there's no use trying now. 'Cause since I found I'm average, I'm smart enough, you see, to know there's nothing special I should expect of me. I'm part of that majority, that hump part of the bell, that lives his life unnoticed in an average sort of hell. It can be tempting to think of ourselves as average. It can be tempting to think of ourselves as just another face in the crowd. It can be tempting to think of ourselves as just another student in class, just another vicar, just another deaconess, just another pastor. But the truth is, there is no such thing as an average Christian life. There is no such thing as an average kind of love for God's people. There is no such thing as an average sort of Christian. We are chosen. I heard a pastor not too long ago talk about a video store that was near his parish. And this particular video store had actually gone to the trouble to erect this 8-foot-tall fence all the way around the store. And somebody had actually gone through, it was this chain link fence, and they had taken strips of plastic and woven them in and out of every single link so that you actually couldn't see through the fence. And the effect was that somebody who wanted to go to this particular store could drive in, could park in their parking lot, which was surrounded by the fence, could go into that store, could rent the sort of video that they rent in a store like that, could get out, get in his car, and drive away without anybody ever knowing who he was or why he was there. That is just the worst sort of darkness to live in. To feel that we're so imprisoned by our sin, to feel that we're so trapped by the things we do, the things we feel, the things and places we find ourselves that we don't have any choice but to be ashamed and to hide. But we don't have to live like that. We don't have to live in that darkness. We have been called out of that darkness into God's marvelous light. We have been chosen. We're getting pretty close now. I'm sure somebody's got an exact count. I make it just a little bit over a month until call day. I don't actually have the days numbered out yet. Some of you are probably starting to get just a little bit nervous. I know I definitely was. There was that morning waking up, having not really, of course, slept the night before, going through my classes, not hearing a word that any of my professors said, thinking all day, what is going to happen tonight? Worrying, where am I going to go? What kind of church will I be sent to? Will it be a big church? Will it be a small church? Will I be in the country, in the city? Will I be up where it snows, or will I be down south where it's nice and warm? What's going to happen? And I can remember being in line and processing into the chapel and just praying over and over, God, send me where you want. God, use me where you want. God, please don't send me to Nebraska. And one by one, my classmates went forward, and their names were read, and their assignments, their calls were read out. And we got to the third guy in our class, a friend of mine, and they called out his name, and the word rang out across the chapel, Siberia. And Nebraska didn't seem so bad. We worry, we stress about so many things that are beyond our control. What is God going to do with us? And we forget we are chosen. There's this ritual that goes on, this liturgy that gets played out day after day across our country. In fact, it happens in very hallowed places. Anywhere where a kickball can be found, you will find this. As kids line up in a row and two of them step out and become the captains, and they take turns back and forth saying, "I want you and I want you." And they pick their teams until only one or two are left, and then the real negotiation begins. As one of them turns to the other and says, "Okay, we'll take her if you'll take him." And the other one looks at him and says, "Tell you what, why don't you take them both? Because then we know we're going to win." And what is it like to be that last one standing there? What is it like to not be chosen? What is it like to be there standing all alone with all of the worries and all of the cares and all of the darkness that our world has, and to have no one and nothing to depend on? Peter reminds us that that was once the case for us. There was a time, he says, when you were not a people. Now you are the people of God. There was a time when you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And when he describes the people of God, he does not do it in the singular. He calls them a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God in the collective, because we are not alone. We are called together in service to one another, to bear one another's burdens, to love one another, the same way in which Christ has loved us, who has forgiven our sin, who has banished our darkness and called us into his light, who takes care of all of those things we worry about, even, dare we say, Nebraska. As we look towards Call Day, as we look to all of the many challenges that greet us in life, we do it together as brothers and sisters in Christ, reminded that we are chosen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, hold our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.